I'm Sean.
And I'm Alex.
And that's Grayson.
And this is Autism Building the Puzzle.
One piece at a time.
Welcome to Autism Building the Puzzle, one piece at a time. My name's Sean, your host, and I have my wonderful wife with me.
You're having a lot of fun today, huh?
I'm excited.
Wow. What an intro. Hey, yeah. Guys. Welcome to the show.
I've been wanting to do that for weeks.
I love it. I love it. Exciting.
So, it reminds me of one of my favorite radio talk show hosts I used to listen to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
incorporating a little bit of that into it.
Yeah, I always said when I listened to him, if I ever did a show,
that's what you.
I was gonna do it one day. So
I love it. Love it.
So,
all right,
we had trouble figuring out a title for this episode.
Well, no, you had it. Sean came up with a title, and then he was like, "Well, maybe we should call it something else." And I was like, "No, I love that. That's what it is now." So
what is it? What did we come up with?
The kitchen sink.
And why?
Because it's just a mixture of a whole bunch of different topics we're going to talk about.
Yeah, it was pretty
put
much
into one episode.
Yeah, it was pretty much a bunch of stuff we wanted to talk about that just we wouldn't be able to do a whole show on.
Right.
So we kind of just lumped them all together, and
here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. So the first thing I wanted to talk a little bit about is just the difference between a meltdown and a temper tantrum.
Yes.
And then, you know, I've seen a lot of stuff out there right now on how to manage meltdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought we'd talk about that to start off a little bit.
Sounds good.
So, I mean, the main difference between a temper tantrum and a meltdown is a temper tantrum has a defined purpose. So either trying to get something or get out of something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want that candy, and you won't give it to them, so they have a temper tantrum. Yeah. So, and the difference between that and a meltdown is there's no real defined cause of it.
Right, and another way, too, is the temper tantrum. If you give the item and they stop, that's a temper tantrum. A meltdown, nothing will satisfy them at that time, no matter what you give them, and that's how you know. So.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's brought on by some, you know, environmental things that are going on. Like, for instance, Grayson can get really overwhelmed with sensory input sometimes. He's a sensory seeker, but, you know, sometimes he just is not in the right
place.
Sometimes
it's too overwhelming for him. He's too overstimulated sometimes, so.
Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, like, if it's music that's on or the television's loud or something like that,
yeah,
you turn it down, he's usually fine, but there are times when it affects him so much that he's still upset even when you turn it down because
still going from that.
It just worked him up so much.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what do you think about, you know, ways to help manage dealing with meltdowns?
How I, you know, we manage it a lot is we try to be there for Grayson, assure him that we want to help him through this and that, you know, which we'll try to fix whatever is going on at that time. Sometimes we can't fix it. We haven't had a meltdown in a long time. I think the last time was actually when our therapist was here. And if it wasn't, it was like it happened once after that. So at that time, no, nothing we did worked. And he didn't usually do that during therapy ever. Mm-hmm. With his therapist, so that was kind of out of nowhere, and we knew something was kind of going on, just didn't know what. And that was very hard to manage. You know, he became kind of aggressive. He's very worked up. You know, he can't really control his emotions, things like that. It's very difficult to watch, honestly. It's scary.
Because he doesn't know his own strength either.
Yeah, no, and you don't want him to hurt himself or hurt us, and he doesn't really try to hurt us. I think he just doesn't know how to deal with the emotions. So he's not like, oh, I want to go hurt my mother and father, or I want to throw something. He doesn't throw things like that. We worry, though, about him hurting himself, headbanging too hard, possibly, you know, the one night, I mean, he was really, really aggressive and kind of just throwing his body all over the place. Do you remember that night? It was me and you.
Yep.
I really didn't even know if I was going to end up calling 911 because I did not know what to do. And he was kind of like trying to attack Sean a little bit, and he never has done that. But he was having a really hard time, and I was just so afraid, like, oh my God, is he going to hurt Sean? Is something going to happen? And it's a really difficult position to be in, especially when he's 4 and a half.
Yeah.
How do you ever make that call? It's difficult, so.
Yeah, but, you know, I think it's not really, there's not really one specific thing you could do to try to completely eliminate a child from having the meltdowns. But, you know, I think one of the first things you need to focus on is when they have them, you have to try to make sure everybody's as safe as possible.
Yes. Make sure he's not near anything.
Keeping them safe.
Make sure you're kind of not blocking them and becoming overwhelming, but what would you say? Sort of giving them just a space, but you're limiting it where it
is. Well, like, you know, keeping them from away from certain things.
Yes.
You know, out of the kitchen, for instance, because there's a million things there that could hurt
you
or them.
And remember when therapists would stand, like, because we have a hallway and it goes to our bedroom, he would stand at the beginning of the hallway so he could not get past that point, because then you want to keep him in a controlled environment where you are. You don't want him to just run off because something could possibly happen if you don't make it there in time, etc. So
yeah, you don't have as much control of a larger environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and if your kids are prone to meltdowns for, you know, a time period or whatnot, you know, obviously try to be proactive and try to, you know, make things safer, you know, ahead of time so you don't have to worry about it as much.
If it happens often, make sure you don't have, you know, dangerous objects around all the time. Make sure they're put away. I mean, you know, you really kind of have to adjust your life to accommodate so you can keep your child safe.
You know, and I think you can also limit them. One of the things we do is we try to be real compassionate with Gray, and, you know, we don't say, you know, oh, everything's fine. We say, oh, I know you're having a hard time right now. You know, as
validate
opposed to,
his feelings.
Yeah. And I think that has also really helped him, like, calm down faster.
Yeah, so. And, you know, a lot of people don't know, like, the effect, like, because so many people, and I find myself doing it a lot, too, like, it's okay, they're not okay. So for you to say it's okay is very discrediting to their feelings. And, you know, I kind of learned that from a girlfriend of mine who is actually a very popular doctor on Instagram. Her name is The Holistic Psychologist. We're hoping one day she's going to be on a podcast. She said she would, so we're hoping to have her on soon. But that was something that she had talked about, was don't tell children that. You know, it's very, you're not really being emotionally available for them. And to us, that's very, very important of assuring Grayson that we validate his feelings at all times, so.
Yeah, and that kind of leads right into something else I wanted to talk about, which was, you know, how a lot of kids with autism have a lot of anxiety and a lot of fear.
Yeah.
You know, and that could be something that plays a role in these meltdowns.
Yes.
You know, just today, actually, I finally got Grayson on the swings by himself because he was deathly afraid of it. He would go on the swings with me or with Alex or with somebody else holding him, but he wouldn't go on by himself.
Right.
Because he just has a big fear of stuff like that. Like,
if he's not in control of the movements, really, sometimes he can be afraid of them, especially like when we first started with our therapist and he would throw him upside down. He would kind of like clench onto him because he wasn't sure yet. Okay, like, does he have me? Can I trust this person? So he's kind of hesitant being off of his feet and that vestibular motion that he can't control.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and obviously, like, stuff like anxiety is very hard to, I don't know, like, kind of look, you know, realize or notice in someone that's a child.
Right.
So, especially, you know, an autistic child that has trouble communicating, particularly when it comes to feelings and, you know, social situations and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
You know, try to keep that in mind and take a look at that, because you want to try to then keep them in, you know, just keep an eye on things. Where do they look anxious mm-hmm. when you go certain places or doing certain things? What makes them anxious? You know, so that you can kind of be prepared for those situations a little bit more when you encounter them. So,
and we went through that with Grayson right before we were actually aging out when we were, well, we were in ABA already when we were aging out of early intervention. So it was right before that, a few months before we aged out of early intervention, right before Grayson had started ABA, we were having a lot of behaviors. And when he got diagnosed, they said he had some anxiety also. So as a parent, you know, when he's having a hard time or having a meltdown or having a behavior for a child that has anxiety, if I was to ignore the behavior, that would make him more anxious. So in those situations, what I did in the beginning before we started ABA and we had a strict, you know, protocol we were following, I kind of, you know, if Grayson was having a behavior and headbanging and having a hard time, I would go over and reassure him, you don't need to do that. I'm here. You know, let me fix what's going on. Tell me what you need. And just assure him of that. And that really did help the behavior a lot. I just kind of switched around what we were doing for a while and gave in and went back to kind of being there for him. And it did help.
Yeah, I think he had a lot of anxiety because he felt like he couldn't get what he was looking for.
Yes.
And he didn't know how to get what he was looking for.
Right.
So... So next up on the list, I wanted to talk about the top two causes of death in children, or I should say people with autism in general.
Yeah.
Number one is drowning.
So scary.
Yeah. So, Grayson loves the water. So yeah. That is a huge fear of ours. So. You know, it's not a great topic to talk about, but I think it's important to mention that if you're, you know, listening, make sure that, you know, and this is just swimming in outside. I mean, I'm talking about baths too.
Oh, don't, yeah. You only need an inch of water to drown.
Yeah. You can't leave them alone. Turn your head once. The other thing is make sure you don't have a bathtub filled and like walk away. You know, and have a way for them to get in there, because you never know. Because they'll jump right in.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, obviously if you have pools, jacuzzis, things like that, you live on water somewhere, make absolute sure you have precautions in place.
Yeah.
Fences, locks.
Everything.
That they don't know how, you know, to get out through.
They can't reach.
They can't climb the fence or whatnot to get into that pool. Because, you know... Obviously, we don't want to see that happen, so
right.
Want to make sure we point that out. Now, the second one is actually suicide. Another not so wonderful topic to talk about, but
no.
You know, obviously, I think this comes back to the whole fear, anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they don't know how to like cope in their own body sometimes.
You know, a lot of times. You know, when they're socializing and stuff like that, and they're not, you know, feeling that they can connect with people.
Yeah.
They don't understand people.
They feel as though they don't belong here.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, and we've read and heard about a lot of stories about that being the case because they feel just so disconnected from the world. So, you know, I think that's something. You know, we can all play a part in is trying to, you know, value these children and people with autism, make them feel accepted, you know, try to do something to interact with them. If you see someone, you know, if there's not somebody already in your family, obviously, for those people out there that aren't, you know, parents of autistic children.
And let's be honest, you know, everybody should feel validated, no matter whether you have special needs or disabilities. This is a huge problem in our world is, you know, suicide. And a lot of times people don't know who to turn to. So I feel as though you should be compassionate and accepting of everybody. You never know what what somebody's going through and a hard time that they're going through and where they're at with their feelings of not wanting to be here. So,
yeah, and I think, you know, I think obviously we got to, you know, as a society, we have to do a better job of, you know, just being more accepting and teaching acceptance to, you know, our kids and stuff like that for all different things. I mean, not just
absolutely,
not just one thing, or just, you know, about autism and stuff like that. But
it's funny you say that, because lately I've been seeing, well, for the past couple of months, I've been seeing like almost like a chain letter going around on Facebook, and it says, pretty much it's, I'll just summarize it, but it's pretty much like, you know, if you have nowhere to go, if you're having a hard time, if you don't want to be here, my door is always open. Like, I'll help you no matter what. No questions asked, no judgment. Putting that out there in case somebody sees that and they are having a hard time and taking that help. So I think they're trying to bring some awareness, more awareness to that topic.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think normal adults have trouble dealing with...
Absolutely.
Just have the, you know, life. Ups and downs of life. So
life is hard. Let's be real here. Life is difficult.
I can only imagine, you know, being in their shoes, how you know, how they feel. So
yeah.
We'll be right back after a word from our show sponsors. Here at Building the Puzzle, we understand how difficult and challenging it can be for parents with autistic children that have communication delays. Well, if you're in New Jersey, you're in luck. The Speech Paradigm has you covered. They're helping children overcome speech challenges all across New Jersey. They offer both telehealth services as well as in-home therapy. Please reach out to them. You can take a look on their website at www.thespeechparadigm.com. You can reach out by phone at 732-203-5268. You can also find them both on Facebook and Instagram as well at The Speech Paradigm. We are also sponsored by Grayson & Company, making homemade toys. They have everything from wooden homemade toys to sensory bins, sensory boards, all different kinds of toys for your children. They can be reached at grayson-company.myshopify.com, as well as on Facebook and Instagram, as well as Etsy. On Etsy, they can be found at Grayson & Company Toys. And now back to the show. Next, let's talk about homeschooling.
All right, let's talk about it. Let's get into it.
We're going to homeschool Grayson.
Mm-hmm.
Why, let me ask you, why do you stand behind that? Why did you want to do that instead of going into the school district?
So originally that was not the plan. The plan was Grayson was going to go into the school district. We actually put him into Montessori at the age of 2 just to see if, you know, that would help him at all. He really wasn't ready, but I just thought having him around other children, something would click. Long story short, he lasted about 2-3 months, took him out. He wasn't ready. So school had, you know, kind of said he wasn't really benefiting there. So there, it was a fantastic school. I absolutely loved it. And they loved Grayson. So they said they would always have a spot there for him. I trusted them. I felt very comfortable with him there. Then we went through really hard times with early intervention. During the time of early intervention, when the school district comes out to visit, they had come out and, you know, we had our OT here. And, you know, she helped me ask them questions and just be there as an advocate for me, for Grayson, through early intervention. So I found out a lot of information. A lot of it sounded really great. It was a full day ABA program. It sounded like he would do well there. Then I come to find out after I kind of, you know, find out more from, you know, our therapist, things like that, just about the school district
other
in
parents,
general,
yeah.
Other parents. And there were some stories that just did not sit well with me. I remember one in particular was a child who could complete standardized testing, all of that. There was no problem there. He did have autism. But the only problem I believe he had was a socialization problem. So everything else was fine. Test taking, he could be in a regular classroom, all of that. So school said that they didn't want to give him services. So the parents actually took the school district, you know, to court. Judge awarded the parents full services for the child, whatever they needed. School district then appealed and said, we are not doing it. And they were then waiting for another court hearing. That to me is absolutely ridiculous. It didn't sit well with me at all. once we also had our struggles through early intervention and Grayson just being that kind of different case that everybody is used to. He's kind of complex to figure out. It takes a while to figure out, and you really need to establish a connection. Even though he is social and everything else, he just really, in order to be able to handle demands and have, you know, that rapport, you have to have a connection with Grayson. So I know that, you know, usually in these programs, there's one teacher, and then there's like two, three, maybe four aides, depending on classroom size, etc. And that just didn't sit well with me. A lot of therapists that were coming out for ABA that we had were not certified. They did not have their RBT. They did not know what they were doing. I was pretty much leading the therapy sessions. I was teaching them everything to do, and that did not sit well with me. Then I thought, okay, if I can't calm my child down during a meltdown or whatever else there is, and I pretty much know what's going on, able to, you know,
yeah,
help, you know, these therapists and know exactly what was going on. How are these aides going to be able to do this? If they're just coming out of college, let's say they have no experience, how are they going to be able to manage my child when I can't, you know, multiple professionals can't? So after that, I thought I cannot send him to school based on that, and based on the fact that even neurotypical kids pick up behaviors from other children. It's the inevitable. It happens. When we had so many struggles with Grayson, you know, being self-injurious, I did not want him to pick up other behaviors and then become violent to others. We have a really sweet boy who's so lovable and affectionate, and I want to keep it that way. So that's our plan, homeschool. If, you know, if we may decide we are going to use an umbrella school as, you know, a guide to keep us on track, make sure all of our curriculum is exactly where it needs to be for Grayson and things like that. However, I may also, you know, if we can, hire a teacher. Bring her in like once or twice a week so that we can have that 1 or 2 days break. And he can kind of have, you know, a little variety too. He's going to get tired of us teaching him eventually. So.
Oh, he'll never get tired of us.
So it's just like therapy. Multiple therapists, multiple teachers, you know.
And we're actually going to try to get somebody that is running an umbrella program. On homeschooling program on for an interview eventually.
Yes.
We have a whole bunch that, you know, we haven't done too many interviews over the past couple of weeks, but we have a whole bunch of people lined up. So
yes,
we'll be coming to you with a whole bunch of awesome interviews.
Yes, it's gonna be good.
Yeah,
I'm really excited.
Some we're really excited about too. Uh-huh. So
yeah.
All right, next. What are your thoughts on how many ABA hours a week? Because I know a lot of experts, 40, 40, 40, everybody says 40.
I think it really is child-specific. Yes, I believe in 40 hours. I think that's great. I think multiple therapists. However, Grayson cannot do 40 hours. He can't.
Not right now.
No. And he couldn't even back then. So I really think it all depends on the child. You know your child the best. You know what they can handle. I know even at age 2, Grayson could never handle 40 hours. Whatsoever. So he just doesn't have
40 is a lot.
The patience for that. Getting through 2 is a lot for Grayson. I mean, after an hour and a half, Grayson's like, kind of, all right, I'm kind of done working. Now I'm over this. And we struggle that last half hour sometimes. So yeah, I don't think he could handle it. But like I said, it's all depending on your child.
Know, I definitely think if you're going to, you know, try to take advantage of as many hours as.
Mm-hmm.
You can, but obviously, like, build up.
Never start off slow and then go.
Never start with 40 hours.
Right.
It's too abrupt for a child. I mean,
you're gonna make it very abrupt.
Yes, I mean, if you start with 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, okay. Then, once they're able to handle that, move up to, you know, either 3 hours, 5 times a week, or you could do. Split sessions and do 2 hours and 2 hours.
Right.
And even if you are doing 30 to 40 hours, you can't be doing 30 to 40 hours straight. The kids right. have to have a couple hours sometimes in between sessions and
yeah
stuff like that. It's just too much for them to handle. And a lot of these kids have, you know, sensory needs that need to be addressed that may not be getting addressed in ABA all the time.
So that's very, very true. You really have to have a BCBA and a company that understands that. And actually, our new therapist was just saying that she's actually seeing now on her data sheets that it actually has a sensory, you know, input that you can write down information and things like that. So, yeah. And that's very, very new. That never would have happened before. So, hey, maybe Grayson's changing the way since they see that Grayson is very sensory oriented and how he focuses and works. So, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of that, one of the things you can do if you're fairly new to the whole ABA therapy world and stuff like that is you can go get your RBT yourself.
Yes.
Even if you're not going to be the one doing therapy all the time.
Still gives you the knowledge.
I mean, if you can't access, you know, services wherever you are.
Yeah.
I mean, I would recommend getting your RBT and even trying to find a couple other people around the neighborhood that would, you know, or the community, your family members, friends, whatever, that would do it too. And just help you a couple hours, you know, 2 hours a week
for
one person, you know, get that support.
You can do it right online. It's like $100.
Yeah, it's like $100.
So, and it's worth it. I was taking the classes because I was planning on then being an RBT before we opened the businesses. I did not finish because life just obviously got in the way. But I do want to finish. And even though I know all of the information on there, I just want that under my belt. So,
yeah, it's helpful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then also, you'll know when you bring in a new therapist, yeah, if they know their stuff.
I can tell now if they know their stuff or not. So
we've been through the roller coaster long enough to know that.
Yeah, we have. So. We have. But, you know, I always give our therapists and stuff, I understand how it must be hard for them also coming into a home where they don't know us, they don't know the child. That's got it. You know, cause anxiety for them and make them uncomfortable. So I always try to make them feel as comfortable as possible and give them a fair chance because I feel like that's a big part. I would feel weird going in somebody's home. You don't really know what to do with their child yet. You don't know what they like. So that's difficult on their end.
You know, and just before we wrap this up, two resources for you when it comes to this topic. There's a great podcast, YouTube channel that I listen to, Autism Live.
Yes.
Fantastic. Been going for a long, long time. The founder of that show actually started a huge ABA company.
Yes.
The Center for Autism and Related Disorders called CARD. Doreen Grandpachet.
Yeah, thank you so much. Oh my gosh, I was like, I know, but I can't pronounce.
Yeah, she's also in the movie we reviewed, Vaxxed. She was also in that movie.
Yeah, she's fantastic. She used to work at UCLA in the beginning, back years ago, before she opened her center. So now she has her own center.
Yeah, she has, she owns a company called CARD. Mm-hmm. They're in like 40 states. Tremendous ABA company, but they also have some educational companies they own, IBT, the Institute for Behavioral Therapy, which basically teaches people how to do ABA.
Yes.
And then their skills program, which I'll leave links for these in the show notes.
Yeah.
Their skills program basically is like a curriculum program for teaching ABA different skills, like what activities to teach different skills. And, I mean, I think they have, like, over thousands of lessons in there.
Right.
And they're all they're all broken down, age-specific. There is a cost to it. I'm not sure. I don't remember how much it is off the top of my head. Yeah. But there is a cost to it. But if, you know, you don't have access to a lot of services, it could be really helpful. And also, they also have programs for providers. So school districts can join their program and use their curriculum.
I love that.
So
love that.
Yeah. So, definitely, because you know, instead of having to do a lot of
kind of connects everybody together.
Yeah. Even if you're an RBT and you know how to, you know, run therapy sessions, you don't always know what you need to do to build certain skills.
Right.
Same thing as a BCBA. You know, I know the BCBAs know a lot, but you know, when you have a whole curriculum laid out.
Right.
Just, you know, makes it a lot easier for them.
Absolutely.
Agreed. Any closing thoughts before we say goodbye?
I don't think so. I think that the episode of Kitchen Sick was pretty good. I hope you guys liked it.
I'm sure we'll have Kitchen Sink 2 one day, because when we come up with a whole bunch of topics and we don't know where to throw them in a show.
we should like make this like a every, you know.
Once a month thing?
Once a month thing, yeah. Like kind of where we're at. It's almost like a Grayson kind of update.
Current events for the month of May.
Current events for the Guthrie family.
That would be a long show.
It would be.
It's pretty eventful lives we have.
It is. It's exciting.
Grayson was so cute today, pointing at the moon in the sky.
Oh, my God. He is, like, changing. I've noticed it since last night. Something is happening to him. He is just he amazes me every day, but he's, like, really changing. Like, last night I really thought he was going to start talking. He's just looking at me like he was just going to start saying something. He was really paying attention.
He was, like,
really
looking
alert.
Into your soul.
He was, right? It was, like, on a whole nother level. I don't know. I was just like, what is going on?
So tonight he points up at the moon, and he's never pointed at the moon. He looks at it all the time, but he's never pointed at it.
And now he's saying, like,
moo. Yeah, and he would say, moo, and then he put he put on his iPad a second later.
It was crazy. I knew he was going to do this.
The planet song.
Well, first it was
then,
the...
And the...
A Halloween song
where the moon is in the sky in the beginning.
The whole screen is the moon, and I was like, oh my God, he's a genius. He's a genius that he puts on the planet song, and he's turning around, looking up. Like, yeah, he knows that's the sky, but he's 4.5. How does he know that Mars is up there? Like, yeah, he watches these things on the iPad, but still, it's like, it's absolutely amazing to me, honestly.
A lot of generalization there. So.
Yeah, it's just so crazy. Yeah. Like, a kid would look at that and be like, if I was 4, I'd probably be like, where's the sky at? Like, Mom, can you take me to the building, the sky? Like, how do they know it's, you walk outside and there it is?
Yeah, he would never walk on grass barefoot.
Nope, he did
until
that.
Today.
Yep.
He did that today.
That's so good.
Yep. And he'll never swing on a swing until today.
Yep. Not by himself.
By himself,
like that.
Yeah, by himself.
And he copied you.
Oh, he was
you
copying.
Copied.
I was copying him last night, and he was cracking up.
As soon as Sean copied him, he knew within 1 second that Sean was copying him, and he looked at him. Was it not the cutest smile? He was like, I was like, oh my God, he knows you're copying him. He thought it was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
That was, that, like, I almost fell over when that happened, when he realized that. He's really, really becoming aware of everything. And I'm noticing, like, he's really paying attention to everything we talk about. We have to really start to watch, I think. I really think we do. Because he is just too smart at this point.
Oh, yeah.
It's time that we can't say certain things. And we've been more careful, but I think we need to be even more careful now.
Oh, yeah. Like, I can't say, like, when we're taking him to the bath, I can't be like, hey, go hide the iPad over there.
No, he
knows. Or the iPad's hidden over there. He didn't know right away where
it is. He can't even spell it. The kid knows spelling, too.
Oh, yeah. I can't even spell IPAD anymore. That's done. That's out the window.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
You have to create code words for things now.
I know, right?
I guess this is what parents of neurotypical kids go through.
Yeah, like 3 years ago.
Yeah. It's the first for everything.
I love it. So I love it like this, though, because... Those little things are so big in your life. Like, if any parents out there are listening that are, you know, whether your child's neurotypical or not, you, when you have a child, you expect those things to just happen. And when they don't, you know, it's hard. But parents with children with autism, when those little things happen, they are huge. They're even bigger than if you had neurotypical, I feel like.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because you don't ever know if they're going to be... they would ever do those things.
Of course.
So when you see it happening in front of your eyes, it's surreal.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. So, one announcement before we say goodbye. Next episode is going to be a fun one. We're going to be running through and talking about some famous people that have autism.
Yes.
Yeah, and just what we think about it and some of the things they've accomplished and just have a discussion about it, so...
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, check that one out. That's going to be a good one. You'll probably be surprised with some of the names on the list. I was.
Yeah.
So.
Shockers.
They've done some.
Tune in for people, that, guys.
People with autism have done some incredible things, so.
Oh, yes, yes. Excited for Grayson's future.
So, thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you next time. With that.
For Autism, building the puzzle, one piece at a time.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Alex.
Signing off.
Take care, everybody.
Here at Building the Puzzle, we understand how difficult and challenging it can be for parents with autistic children that have communication delays. Well, if you're in New Jersey, you're in luck. The Speech Paradigm has you covered. They're helping children overcome speech challenges all across New Jersey. They offer both telehealth services as well as in-home therapy. Please reach out to them. You can take a look on their website at www.thespeechparadigm.com. You can reach out by phone at 732-203-5268. You can also find them both on Facebook and Instagram as well at The Speech Paradigm. We are also sponsored by Grayson & Company, making homemade toys. They have everything from wooden homemade toys to sensory bins, sensory boards, all different kinds of toys for your children. They can be reached at grayson-company.myshopify.com as well as on Facebook and Instagram. As well as Etsy. On Etsy, they can be found at Grayson & Company Toys.